This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk about Central Douglas CERT, the Community Emergency Response Team, today and something they've got coming up a couple months up the road. Lisa Englund, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So I guess, first of all, because a lot of people may not be familiar, what is Central Douglas CERT?
Central Douglas CERT, it stands for the Community Emergency Response Team, and we are part of... We came from FEMA after the Katrina hurricane. We're mandated in each state. Each state is required to have a team. And we are a team of volunteers. None of us are paid. We are just community members that come together. And in the case of an emergency or a disaster, we are there to help, whether it's to search buildings or help out even on regular fires. We're there to help our firefighters in any way that they need us. We can do many things. We can do first aid. We have staffed some of our community events with a first aid tent. We just do a bunch of little things in the event of a disaster. We're there to help. We're checking out our neighbors, and we're always looking for volunteers.
So how did you get involved in this?
I started out as a volunteer firefighter in Washington State, and because I was a volunteer firefighter EMT, we didn't have anything to do with disaster prep at that time. And this was almost 40 years ago. And we started looking at maybe we needed to have some emergency shelters in our department. So I met up with the Red Cross, and at that time, the county that I lived in had created a disaster program specific to our county and our state. And so I started teaching that along with a fellow firefighter. I started teaching a course for how we can survive during the time of a disaster or during the time of an emergency. And an emergency could be something as severe as like the Archie Creek fire, or it could be an earthquake or a tsunami. But I've been involved in the field and continued to learn, and I take a lot of courses through the Federal Emergency Management Agency. We're all FEMA-trained in CERT, and so I've just been continuing with my experience with that.
So how many people do you have helping you out?
Currently, we have about 10 of us on the team. We have a leadership team made up of four people, and we have 10 of us that show up when we're called out. Last time we were called out was during the floods this past year, and we went out and did some surveys so that the county could apply for FEMA dollars.
And that's a really important piece of that that people probably don't always think about when that's going on, because for one thing, you're just dealing with what's happening,
right,
and trying to get through it, and especially if your property's on the river nearby or whatever. But then for getting assistance later, you can't just write a note and say help. I mean, you know, there's a whole, as you know way better than I do, there's a whole procedure there for a county to get county relief, probably for a state, for a city, places like that.
Exactly. There are protocols you have to go through, and you have to go out and you have to do surveys in every neighborhood. You have to get out there and talk with the people that live in the neighborhood, and then you have to determine what was there any damage done, and if so, what kind, and that's what gets reported. And then a certain dollar amount has to be met in order to get state dollars, and then the state, when they compile all their data for the emergency, they have to meet a certain dollar amount in order to be able to apply for those federal dollars.
So one of the aspects about this is you don't get a lot of notice about emergencies.
No, we have to be ready to go all the time.
How do you do that? I mean, for a lot of people, you've got a busy schedule, and suddenly somebody calls and says, now.
Well, every team member that has gone through the required training. We're all issued what's called a to-go bag. We keep our gear in that with us at all times, and a lot of us keep a separate bag at our homes. Some of us pack bags for our family. Others leave their family members to pack their own bags. But we keep a to-go bag, and then we get notified when the department we fall under in this county, we fall under the Department of Emergency Management. In other counties, they may fall under the fire department or their local sheriff or police departments. But here, when the Department of Emergency Management needs us, they call the team leader, and the team leader then, we have a way of getting in touch with everybody either through using the county's alert system, or we'll use our cell phones and do a phone tree real quick. There are many ways that we can be dispatched, including having, if needed, an officer show up at the door and go, come on, we need to go.
So for the flood last year, talk about how that kind of evolved.
We were activated through the Department of Emergency Management, and I got a call from our team leader, and we were needed at that time because of the flooding. We needed to open some shelters. Red Cross was also opening shelters, but we needed to open up a couple of more. So our team leader staffed a shelter in Fir Grove, I believe it was, in that area. And then myself and another team member out of Sutherland, we opened a shelter in Sutherland. And the fire departments cooperated. Red Cross brought in cots. We had all the paperwork we need because we usually keep a packet of forms in our go bags. So we were able to set up a shelter in about 30 minutes and be ready to go to receive people.
One of the things about that one last year, because I was in here dealing with getting information out the whole day, is, first of all, it was on a Sunday, which, you know, you've got all these people that are not normally scheduled, whether it's an agency, whether it's volunteers, all of that. You had to, you know, chase down people right, that weren't necessarily expecting. And because it was, you know, an early Sunday, there were, and I know some of the rescue scenarios I will remember, not necessarily rescue, but where people needed to be warned how close things were getting. There were people totally clueless because it was Sunday morning and they were watching NFL football or some sporting event on TV and hadn't even opened the drapes yet.
Right.
And I remember a couple of particular calls in that case where people had no idea that the river or whatever body of water was nearby was like 5 feet from their back door.
Exactly.
So why is it important for people to be, you know, maybe it's an overused term, but situational awareness to know what's going on around them, even on the weekend?
Well, you pointed out a great fact in that, you know, people weren't aware. And when we have storms coming in, we need to realize that it can turn bad really fast. I like to refer to the Archie Creek. That I think affected us throughout the entire county. You know, first we had to worry about smoke. So if somebody has a health problem, you have to worry about, what am I going to do if I can't go outside anymore and I need to be able to get help? Or what if I need to leave my home? We all need to have a backup plan in case of an emergency or a disaster. In the case of the floods, we had several older residents in a mobile home park in Sutherland, for instance, who weren't aware that the water was literally at their back door. And they had no way to get out of their homes. And thankfully, they called 911 when they saw the water coming into their homes. And our local police department and fire departments were able to help them get evacuated. But we all need to have some kind of a plan. We all think, oh, nothing will ever happen. And that's just not true.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about this class you've got coming up for another situation that people don't always think about happening, and that's large animal emergency rescues and an awareness course coming up. We will cover that when we get back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at 1. We are talking about the Community Emergency Response Team. It's Central Douglas. Sir Lisa Englund in with us, and we've been talking kind of about awareness and emergencies in general, but here's one that you're going to address in a class coming up in May out of the Douglas County Fairgrounds. Large Animal Emergency Awareness Course. Why is this an important thing to work on?
Well, a lot of us own animals, and this course is being taught by the founder of what we call TLAIR, Technical Large Animal Emergency Animal Rescue. And it's important because we need to know what to do with our animals, not just large animals, but all of our animals in time of disasters and emergency. I think back to the last time that we opened an animal shelter, which was during the Archie Creek fires. I myself lived in an area where we had to evacuate. And so had I not taken this course years ago, I would not have known what to do and where to take my animals, how to get them loaded quickly. We tend to kind of think about ourselves first, and we realize later, oh no, I have animals, what do I do? So this course is really good for teaching not just about large animals, but teaching about all animals and what we need to do and be prepared for and ready for in disasters and emergencies.
So who are you hoping to really reach at this? I mean, I would think a lot of people, farmers and people in the ag community that have all these animals.
We've opened up this class to everyone. Typically, this class is taught to first responders, tow truck drivers, veterinarians. And when I say first responders, I mean people like our law enforcement, our fire departments. We also include the tow truck drivers and our veterinarians because they're all part of a team. If you have, let's say you have horses, and you have an old well on your property you didn't know about, if your horse falls into that well, how are you going to get that horse out? You can't just go out there and put a rope around its neck and haul it up that way. You're dealing with an animal that weighs well over 1,000 pounds, and you can easily break that horse's neck. So by using a team, the veterinarian can come out and sedate the animal and keep it calm, because that's what you want to do. Tow truck drivers, what do they carry with them? Fire trucks, what do they have? They have equipment that is very helpful. The tow truck drivers usually have, they can use their boom on their truck for lifting. Fire departments carry their fire hose. That's a wonderful tool to use for strapping material to lift that horse out of that well. Law enforcement's great because it can help keep crowds back and maintain crowd control, and it allows us to be able to do our work. So everybody plays a part in the team. But we want the public to know what they too can do themselves to help during times of disasters and emergencies, because these teams aren't always going to be available.
So you've got a two-day class. Is this all day, both days?
Yes, it's all day, both days. We're offering breakfast and lunch for both days. It goes from 8 to 5. And the founder of the organization will be teaching the course. She's taught many times here in Oregon, usually up in the Willamette Valley. And we've been trying for several years to get her down here. And she's really excited to come down and teach this course to us.
Situations like you mentioned, like with a horse, for example, make for a good TV show. But in reality, it's pretty tough work when you have that situation happen.
It is, and it's very emotional work because you have to deal with the homeowner or with the animal's owner who is just worried sick that their animal is going to be okay. Other instances that you could use our services for, what about if you go hiking in the woods and you're taking your dog even? This isn't just for large animals. This is teaching us how to work with all animals, basically. What happens if your animal goes off the trail? If they fall down an incline, how do you get it back up when it's a couple of hundred feet down? You need equipment to be able to do that. You need personnel to be able to help. So I never thought I would have to use this course. And if I have time, I was coming home from Eastern Washington one day and witnessed there was a semi-truck that hit the back end of a horse trailer on Interstate 84. And because I had just had this course, I knew what to do. I ran across the highway, went over. The distraught horse owner was trying to get her horse calm while it was still in the trailer. She was carrying two horses after an endurance ride. And I told her that I knew what to do, and I said, here's what I suggest. What she do? She handed her reins off to me. That horse immediately calmed down. I didn't have the same energy as the owner. And in the meantime, people started showing up and I could give direction and guidance, and they were able to evacuate the two horses from the trailer. One had minor injuries, the other was just fine. So we never know when something is going to, you know, when it's going to be affected, that we're going to be able to use our skills. And dealing with pigs, that's different than dealing with horses. Same with dealing with goats or cattle or any type of animal. This training really helps.
So how do people get signed up?
They can go to either the United Way's Facebook page, or they can go to the Central Douglas County Emergency or Central Douglas County CERT Facebook page. And we have the a copy of our flyer is posted there with the QR code. And so you just shine your phone onto the QR code, or if they need information, they can call me at my phone number that's listed.
And the course is May 9th and 10th, but you really want to get people signed up by April 6th, right?
That's correct, yes, because we need to know how many people that we're going to cater the meals for. And we also have other costs, such as bringing the instructor out from Georgia, where she lives. So, yes, we need to know in advance how many people we're going to have.
All right. Lisa Anklin from Central Douglas CERT, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.